Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And only on April 4th, 2019.
Okay, we just went back in time.
2019.
Back in time. That's right. I tell you, the 4th is always a great time because that's when you know spring is originally, you know, come into California here. We're ready to rock and roll. You had plants blooming in your yard today, didn't you, Blake?
Yeah. Well, on my patio in pots that aren't supposed to bloom.
I love poinsettias. Spring is coming. Everything's been watered and cleaned out, and we're ready for a good spring.
So now people will be opening stores for poinsettias.
Yes. Early right, Christmas
right.
present.
Yes, exactly.
Michael, how you doing, man? Good to see you.
I'm okay. I'm here.
You are here.
That's the most important
one
thing.
One of the best things to be at this time.
Exactly.
And Michael, it is, as you said, April 4th, and we will be talking about some exciting opportunities for LA theater goers on this week's show, won't we?
We certainly will, and in just a little while, we'll be hearing about The Things We Do, a painfully funny look at modern relationships, written by former Attorney General turned playwright Grant Woods.
Painfully funny, basically.
Yeah.
That describes my entire high school life. So it should be
Politicians do have other things to think about than just politics, right?
The Things We Do makes its world premiere at the Odyssey Theater this Saturday, April 6th, and runs through May 12th. We are privileged to have two of its stars in studio with us today.
So let's please give a warm welcome to the very talented Blake Boyd and Marlene Galan.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome both. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thrilled to have you. This looks like a fun show.
It's very fun.
Yeah.
It's four people for 90 minutes, no intermission.
Yeah.
And once it starts, we go and we don't stop.
Now, that sounds about right for a show like this, too. It's supposed to be a laugh riot, but it's also supposed to be poignantly painful, correct? Mm-hmm. Which is, I think, what we've all gone through in love and relationships. Tell me, you got two co-stars, yeah?
Yes. Liesl Kopp and Stephen Rockbell are wonderful. It's the four of us, two married couples who make some decisions that they, well, I don't want to give away anything.
They're flawed, let's just say.
They are flawed.
Everyone has a problem.
There's a seductress who's quite lovely and beautiful and who happens to be sitting to my right now.
Nice.
And I think that play is a little bit about accountability.
Cool.
If you want to think about it that way.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Well, I can't wait to hear more about this, and obviously we'll get back with our guest here in just a moment and really dig into this great show. But before we do that, we should thank our sponsors.
I think we should. Let's do it. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsor for State of the Arts during 2019. A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky person will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure to enter every month for your chance to win. You simply have to come to latalkradio.com. Punch up Channel 2, and then go to our page, State of the Arts, and you will see the Princess logo. Click on that. Your registering process takes maybe about 15, 20 seconds, I would imagine. And you are on your way. It's a $5,000 gift from Princess to some lucky person.
That's right.
Right?
Such a good deal. And also, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts. And as always, we'd encourage you to check out the best photographer here in Los Angeles. By my estimation, I've loved her for years and years and years. Her headshots get people work. It's a pretty good endorsement, right? That's a nice thing. Carrie Ann Francis at cafrancisphoto.com. If you're looking for new headshots or if you have a band that's doing a gig, get her out there and she'll make you look your best. She always does.
Yes, she does. She certainly, well, she did it with you and me.
Yeah, and that's a job, man. If you can do that, earn your paycheck, sister. My goodness. Michael, we got a lot of fun things to talk about today, don't we?
We are privileged to have these sponsors that we just talked about.
That's right.
To supporting this program because we need to keep the arts alive out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's why we do this.
That's absolutely right.
So, Andrew, we haven't seen each other for a week. Just tell me a little bit personally what was going on.
Personally,
in
my thoughts, my feelings,
yes,
how
yes,
things are,
yes,
how many times I collapsed in a puddle on the floor crying. It was actually a good week. I was busy, though. I worked nonstop. I was in San Francisco as well as running out to different spots around L.A. to finish up three films that I've been shooting. Mm-hmm. And it's been a tumultuous time trying to juggle schedules with the weather and all that sort of thing. But in the end, it was really cool because I got to see it from the directing, the acting, and the fight choreography side on three successive films. That's cool to walk in and put on a new hat and go, man, that's a totally different world I'm living in. I don't need to worry about this stuff on the shoot. And that was kind of fun. So it was kind of like baptism by fire as far as doing one project right after the other one. And it kind of gave you a chance to go, oh, yeah, that's why we live in this town. There's always something creative and fun to do. So
and challenging.
No doubt. No yeah. doubt. Sometimes we sleep just wrapped, and we hopefully will have that one, you know, edited here in the next couple of weeks. And some good
Excuse
stuff
me.
Coming up from that company as well.
Yeah.
So. How about you? What'd you do?
I actually went to see Attack of the Second Bananas.
Ah, our two buddies.
Yes, at the Zephyr Theater.
Were they as funny live as they were on the show?
Yes.
That was a high energy room.
Yes, they were. And yeah, it was the night before their last performance.
Wow.
A detective story about two performers who are questionable sexually, but they're very famous, and they are killed. Both of them are found dead on the stage.
It that sounds so funny.
When you walk in, when you walk in, they're actually on the stage, dead, with a sheet over them.
Sounds like a Shakespeare show.
They don't get revealed until maybe 20 minutes into the play, because Adam Huss, who is a wonderful actor and a television star, plays the detective. And so he is gathering all the clues, then he finally takes the sheets off, and there they are. So yes, it was fun. It was interesting. It was different, and it had a short run there at the Zephyr, but that's over with now. So we can't say go and see it, but if it appears in another theater or maybe another run of it.
And Los Angeles is such a great place to start that, and then continue the run of a show as it goes across the country. I hope that happens for them because they were fun on the show last week.
Yeah, very much so.
A lot of good stuff.
Yes, indeed. And you, any theater, no?
Just the normal. It was a busy work week, but I got to tell you, my daughter did the Missions Project. You know, the California Missions Project?
Oh, yeah.
So I guess they're thinking about cutting it, which is kind of a big deal because so many people remember this project fondly. But so I had my hands in modeling clay and making tiny little lemons and oranges for her project any moment that I was home. And she finally got to turn that in. She was very, very proud of it. She did that and the historical landmark, the Leonis Adobe, who years ago I'd written all the historical scripts for. So it was really cool to have that personal connection come back. And you realize how much history there is in California. These missions were all founded in 1770-something. While the Revolutionary War is raging on the other side of the country, Californians were, you know, shaping a new world. So kind of cool stuff, digging into California history
much.
For a bit. Shall we go ahead and bring in this handsome man? He's a friend of the show.
He is a handsome man.
I don't like that. Handsome dudes on the show.
Yeah.
Makes me feel bad about myself, man. Not cool.
You are doing just fine. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, was a 2-year title holder in boxing at SMU, where he began work in modeling and commercials to put himself through school for business studies. After graduation, he moved to Los Angeles, landed his first professional debut role, guest starring on the series Charles in Charge. And the rest is history.
Equally adept at both comic and dramatic roles, he enjoys a diverse and rewarding career in film, television, and theater in Los Angeles as well as in New York. On the screen, some credits include Out of Time, Toto, Disney's Rocket Man, and starring roles in Disney's First Kid, Honeymoon, and Space Marines.
He has also appeared in Beethoven's Third, The Cabled Guy, Dark Planet, Raiders of the Sun, and Dune Warriors. He has lent his voiceover talents to multiple video games, the role of trucker Jim Bob in The Brave Little Toaster Goes to School, and the voice of Safety Kid on Safety Kid on the Net.
That's right. On some television credits that he's had have included guest roles on Kamen Rider, Miracles, Agency, ER, Seventh Heaven, VIP, News Radio, The Watchers, and a reoccurring role in Pensacola TV movie. And credits include Confessions, Two Faces of Evil, Saved by the Bell, and Gunsmoke 2.
On the stage, he originated the role of Reynolds in Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes. Now, we don't usually say that word here on State of the Arts, so let me rephrase that. A-holes, which made its way from L.A. to Chicago and landed at the acclaimed Cherry Lane Theater off Broadway. He has just completed a run of You Love That I'm Not Your Wife, also a show that I saw this man in, at New York's Players Theater.
That's right. In Los Angeles, he has appeared in A Month in the Country. That's a totally different show. A Month in the Country, Burn This, Marsh Light, Cabaret, Maids of Honor, Cyrano de Bergerac. Boy, my lips are gone today. Cyrano de Bergerac, Staccato, and Class of 1990, just to name a few.
He joins us today to talk about his current role as Bill in The Things We Do.
That's
Please
right.
welcome one more time, Mr. Blake Boyd.
Yeah.
Blake. You're back, baby.
Boy, your credits, man. That's a lot of credits. Do you ever stop working?
Well, yes. And, you know, that's over a very long period of time, and we're not going to say how long I've been at this, but I'm sitting there and I'm hearing that thinking, wow, it's like looking at your own social media feed.
Yeah.
It sounds really, really good, and I'm very grateful, and I've been blessed. And also, you know, it's just, I think I'm a testament to this business. If you just stick it out long enough,
yeah.
If you just stick around long enough. You know?
That's right.
Well, you're also good at what you do.
Well, thank you. I love what I do. I really enjoy it.
But roles like Staccato and Kamen Rider and stuff, that's stuff that you do to kind of, you know, get a leg up and start rolling. And some of those projects go on to have a really interesting following as well, don't they?
Sure. There's a quote, and we've all heard it before. I saw it the other day at the Odyssey when Marlene and I were rehearsing. It's, movies make you famous, television makes you rich, but theater makes you good.
Nice.
Mm.
And it's true, because we don't make any money doing the theater.
That's right.
It's fine, but it's fulfilling, it's fun, there's just a lot of grace. And
who
and,
said that? Did it give?
I can't remember.
Blake Boyd, he said it on State of the Arts.
Somebody said, it's a famous quote, but it's very, very good, and it's true.
It's fantastic.
It's true. But I enjoy the theater. It's hard. We're in a production right now, Marlene and I and two other wonderful actors, directed by Alina DeSantos, and we're having a great time. It's, as you said earlier, The Things We Do. It's an adult comedy about four couples, two married couples, and the things that they do as they navigate the waters of middle age.
Mm. Yeah. Well, but neither of you look to me like you're middle aged.
Bless you.
I love you so much.
It's obviously the wonderful fluorescent lighting we have in here. Makes everybody look young.
And by the way, I'm in my underwear. So is she.
Oh, really?
It's how we do radio here on
State of the Arts. Not right now, we're not.
We used to have pantless Thursdays here.
Really?
And we can join right
we
in.
We do, but we didn't have that today. What a shame.
So okay, you open up nearly naked in the show.
Well,
your ticket sales just soared through the roof, both of you.
Actually, it opened with a very long monologue, and then I come see this lovely young lady, and then we end up naked. And so, but the way it's structured, it's very, very challenging to start that way. But if you can just be present in those moments,
yeah,
commit, then you're off.
Right.
It only gets easier.
Yeah.
So, you know, as opposed to waiting, and we've all done it, where we have to wait, you know, 20 minutes before we come on stage.
Right.
So, you know, consider it a blessing.
It's interesting with theater. I think that one of the things that I've fallen in love with in Los Angeles is that there's so many new ways to tell a story now, and relationship mm-hmm. stories, I mean, there's so many different parts of a relationship you can focus on. But the painfully funny moments, I think, are the ones we all still relate to. Tell me a little bit about the plot of the show and what happens throughout its arc.
Well, okay, I don't want to give too much away here, but there's two married couples, middle-aged couples, and one of the characters, my character, is happily married, and I use that term loosely. They're kind of coasting through life, just doing the normal things that 40-somethings do.
Mm-hmm.
And as it so happens, I come across a lovely young woman who is lonely and bored. Mm-hmm. And she's, like I said, lonely and bored. And things happen. And they just happen. I don't think that I would have ever set out to get involved with another woman, but I certainly didn't have the wherewithal to say no. Mm-hmm. And it's funny what happens and the way I try to get myself out of it. And then her husband ends up coming home. He's a realtor. We end up going out to Malibu to look at a house. She constructs it.
There's no houses left in Malibu. They're all gone. Trust me.
So we come up with a plot that we will, a plan to stick together. That doesn't really work out. Mm. And that's when the hilarity ensues. And we all have to come to grips with where we wind up as people.
Okay.
How many times are you naked in the show?
See, no, Michael gets right to the point. Michael cares about the important things here.
And well, only once, and we're not naked.
Honestly,
it's very tastefully staged. Thank you, Alina.
Being naked once is much less than Michael's been naked on this show. So you still got a lot of catching up to do. Seriously, we got a lot of work to do.
We were talking about it the other day, and it's she said, Blake, can you do me two favors? When we're under the sheet, don't talk to me because I'm listening for a cue.
And then
just shut up. Don't talk because I'm like, I would like check in with her.
No pillow talk. That's right.
Are you okay? Is everything okay? And then the other thing is when you yell your first line, don't yell in my ear. Just turn your head away. And it's those technical things that you think about.
Yep. Yeah.
Not so much, hey, my God, we're naked.
It's interesting, too, to me, too. I mean, obviously, as a theater actor, you learn that the importance of a stage kiss is to get the kiss over so you can move on to your next cue. You know, you want to invest in the moment, but also it's not a romantic thing.
It's about as unromantic
as exactly right. Possible. There's a lot of logistics going on there. How much spittle do I have when I have to say my next line? You know, those sort of things. But it is interesting, too, because to truly, you know, be vulnerable on stage is why people go to the theater. They want to see catharsis. They want to see change. And this show is kind of built in an interesting way. It's called a sex dramedy, which I think is fantastic. So obviously this is something that's dealing with intimate relationships, but also the funny and the sorrow that comes out of those relationships and maybe how we can do relationships better in our real life, right?
You know, I'll tell you, when I watched this show workshopped in Phoenix several times, and there were talkbacks with the writer and the directors and the people who produced it, the audience members would not leave the theater because they wanted to talk about these characters and their challenges and why did they do that, and they saw themselves in the characters. And that's why we do theater, that's why we tell stories.
Absolutely.
Is so that people see themselves on stage. But they couldn't stop talking about it because they related in one way or another either to the characters or to the relationships or the struggles that they were feeling themselves.
Now, why were you in? Were you a resident of Phoenix at the time, or no?
Was I a resident?
A resident.
I spent part of my time. I'm a resident of Phoenix and Los Angeles.
Also, have you ever been arrested in Phoenix? Is my next question.
For being naked.
I do not recall.
Yeah,
that's right. Those are the best arrests when you can't remember them. So Phoenix has a lot going on right now. It's a thriving city for both film and theatrical productions.
Yeah, the live performing arts scene is kind of blossomed there.
The theater scene has really picked up. There are a lot of great artists, really committed artists in Phoenix.
No doubt about it. Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Tell me a little bit, both of you, as you worked on this show, what were some of the biggest hurdles to overcome? Both of you are obviously very accomplished stage actors, but when you walk into a project like this, it's an original work, and you want to kind of do justice to the story, but you're also creating a character that other people are going to play for years and years and years to come. What kind of responsibility was that to look at?
You know, that's the perfect question, Drew. Thank you, because Grant Woods, the writer, is going to be there tonight.
Whoa.
And he has not seen it since a table read about a month ago.
And so, he was a former attorney general,
former
so there's
attorney
that
general.
Pressure,
he
too.
Was, he was also John McCain's original chief of staff.
First chief of staff,
way back when, in Arizona. He's got some interesting stories. I like Grant. He's an interesting guy. I enjoyed talking to him. So we'll see what he has to say to me after the show tonight. But to your point, wait, repeat the question.
It was a long question, too. Tell me about some of the responsibilities of forming a character for the first time and what that was as a hurdle.
Well, it's interesting. A lot of plays that we do and we've seen, I mean, she did Hostage recently, and she's pretty much on stage the entire time.
Right.
And I didn't see that production, but I've seen Hostage here in L.A. at the Skylight, and it was quite good. But in a show like this, logistically, with 31 different scenes, and I'm in 21 of them.
Wow.
and there's probably six different clothing changes and props and set changes. It's literally a game of logistics.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried 2 weeks ago about dialogue and learning my lines and memorizing. I'm not worried about that anymore. And they come out of Blake trying to survive,
right?
Which is great, because nobody wants to see Blake doing his acting.
And the character the character work, you know, now we're at the point of logistics and lighting cues and where do I stand and how do I, you know, blah, blah, blah. But the character work, and to your question, that happened early on. And I don't know, for me as an artist, I try to find myself where, what of Marlene is in Sarah?
Yeah.
And that's where I start. And every artist, I think that's the approach. I mean, so Sarah is the loneliest person in the play.
Mm. Wow.
She is. And
she
covers it with all sorts of shenanigans. But so the work for me starts with myself and where am I in that character to tell this story?
As it should with any character. I think that's great. Obviously, you know, you kind of start from the ground up figuring out how you're going to walk in this person's shoes for whatever time you get to play them. And it's interesting when you create an original character. For me, it's always freeing, but it's almost too freeing at times. You go through so many options. Okay, do I play with my hair? Okay, do I fiddle with my fingers? You know, what do I do? And then you go back to that, well, what would I do in this situation? And eventually that comes through.
But then at least I'm not thinking, God, how did Laurie Metcalf do that?
That's exactly right.
Because then I'm screwed if I'm thinking that, you know?
Well, you've got it.
That's exactly right.
It has to be Blake. It has to be Marlene. It has to be Michael. It has to be Drew.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, otherwise, true. You know, it doesn't ring true.
Well, that's why we do it.
My problem when I played Benedict in Much Ado About Nothing was I could not get Branagh out of my head. And he's got such a distinctive speech. I had to, like, literally force him out of my brain sometimes. And you see a definitive role like that when somebody's played it for so many times. And an original work takes all those boundaries away, too. There's nothing preconceived. So you get to go on a journey of discovery.
Pretty fun.
It is a lot of fun and a great treat to get to do, especially in Los Angeles, where, you know, that's a rare thing. Original works are harder and harder to find.
A good friend of mine, Michael Donovan, cast you in this play. Yes. And were there a lot of contenders, or did he go right to you?
I've known Michael for many, many years, and we've become friends over the years. He's cast me. This is a third or fourth time he's cast me. And when I got the call, my agent, Eddie Culbertson, said, Michael said to tell you, congratulations. There were a lot of people.
Wow.
Who won. And so I was very thrilled. You know, I don't know. You go in, you audition, you commit, you do whatever you can, and then you go in, you be present. I met Marlene at the callback, and I read with her, and so I don't know. I can't really answer that question.
Yeah. The name of the show was The Things We Do, and it's written by Grant Woods. I think, obviously, this show is an interesting one because it's adult material. You don't take kids to the theater to see this one, but it sounds like a fun date night show where you can go and then just kind of go, okay, look how much better we can do it than what these people got themselves entangled with. Let's start a new chapter, which I love as well. Hopefully, you can learn a little bit from these characters as well. Previews start tonight and tomorrow night. That's April 4th and 5th. Performances run April 6th. through the 12th, and I think obviously the Odyssey Theater is a great and well-respected house.
It's a guest production at the Odyssey Theater, let's make that clear. And that, of course, the Odyssey Theater, very famous in Los Angeles, is at 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard, wonderful space. And for tickets, you can call 310-477-2055, extension 2. Again, 477-2055, extension 2 in the 310 area code, or go to the odysseytheater.com website.
That's right. Tickets as low as $15 all the way up through $40. If you're a student with an ID, you get in for $15. That's a pretty good deal. General admission, I believe, is $35 for reserve seating. On opening night, it's $40, and seniors are $25. So, great thing.
There's also a discount. Marlene and I have both studied with the great Larry Moss. Mm-hmm. And there's a discount.
Yes, and I think if you're a Larry Moss student, you can call in and say you're a Larry Moss student, and you get a little discount.
Really?
That's a good deal.
That's a very good deal.
Now,
how are you going to prove it, though?
I don't know.
You have to.
The way that they walk into this theater.
Let's see you act. That's right.
Where's my ticket?
They need to be breathing correctly. We will know if you're
That's
Larry
right.
Moss
Use your diaphragm. That's great. So now you got to tell me a little bit real quickly, because we got to jump to a live arts calendar here in a minute. But I want to know just a little bit about how you got started on this project specifically. Obviously, there's so many jobs in Los Angeles. What made you want to audition for this one?
I got a call from my agent. Anything that Michael's doing, I'm interested in. He asked me about a year ago as JFK at the Odyssey in a play about Mary Jo Kopechne.
Oh, wow.
And that was a lot of, well, I can't say it's fun doing a play about Mary Jo Kopechne, but playing an icon, and I got good reviews. I was flattered.
That's
this
great.
This country boy from Texas getting good reviews playing JFK. Wow, okay, there is a God. Of course, I say that with jest, but any time, this may not be the answer you want to hear, but it's the truthful answer. Anytime a theater project comes along, I'm interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done projects, one that I was on your show about, and I'm just going to be, I won't name it, I thought this is going to be awful. People are going to hate it. The director, writer, producer is in it.
Wow.
It was Women Are Crazy Because Men Are Assholes.
Right, right.
We took that thing all the way off Broadway in New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I thought reading it, so you just never know.
With
our
a very extended run here, and
we
then a return
years.
Run
yeah,
here.
Yeah, yeah.
You, and so you jump in and do it if it's theater because you never know where it's going to go.
You never know when it's going to go.
That's
and
right.
even, and I say this with all due respect, even bad theater is good for the actor.
Yeah.
Just
Amen.
Do it.
Yeah. I love theater.
Just do it.
Yeah.
And let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
The theater blesses the actor.
Mm-hmm.
Even going to see plays that kind of miss the mark are a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there's never, the lovely thing, of course, as we all know about the live performing arts, is that there are never two performances alike.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's true when I'm in a man. I almost get those lines the same night after night after night. I had to improvise an iambic pentameter one time because I went up during Taming of the Shrew.
Oh, good.
Man, oh, man, that was an adventurous night. It is funny with the live theater, you realize that there's such a unique thing that you can do in theater that you can't do in film, which is you can go with a mistake. Mm-hmm. You can say, hey, this happened in my life on this stage, and I can rock and roll. And that's a refreshing feeling, isn't it?
Oh, it's so much fun to be alive in the moment to moment. Every night is different. Last night's rehearsal, I saw something completely different. I mean completely different in one of our scenes with Blake that absolutely first blew me away, and secondly, it changed everything after he spoke and where it went from there because of that moment and being right there. That's the exciting part.
Even as an audience member, you get to enjoy that sometimes, watching them discover new things. That's a cool thing.
And by the way, don't ever tell me what
I will not. I was not giving
I know,
any details.
I know, but I told Alina DeSantos, our director, who's wonderful, I said, if you like what I'm doing, don't tell me. Just tell me what you want me to change.
Wow.
Because I don't need to know.
Yeah. No, it'll keep you up at night, for God's sake.
And then you try to recreate it.
Yeah, try to recreate it. Exactly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Let's do a live arts calendar on that.
I think we should. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, as you just said, the beloved children's tale comes to life at Hollywood Pantages Theater on stage now and for the next week and for the next week. Willy Wonka is opening his marvelous and mysterious chocolate factory to a lucky few.
That includes Charlie Bucket, whose bland life is about to burst with color and confection beyond his wildest dreams. He and four other golden ticket winners will embark upon a mesmerizing joyride through the world of pure imagination. Now's your chance to experience the wonders of Wonka like never before. Get ready for Oompa Loompas, incredible inventions, and the great glass elevator, and more with this everlasting showstopper.
Ronald Dahl's amazing tale is now LA's golden ticket, but only for a limited time, so don't miss this perfect recipe for a delectable treat. On stage now at the Hollywood Pantages Theater through April 14th. For tickets or more information, call 800-982-2787 or visit hollywoodpantages.com or ticketmaster.com. And I will say, as I said last week, it's worth every penny. It's a charming, lovely, beautiful, exciting, especially for the children, production, which is on its current U.S. Broadway, U.S. national tour. And the gentleman who plays Willy Wonka, whose name escapes me for the moment, but he is extraordinary and has the comic and timing sensibilities of Martin Short.
That's great.
He is tremendous. He holds this whole show together.
Well, and beyond that, we love Hollywood Pantages so much. It's a great night out. I've taken my children a number of times. Their hospitality is always great. And more than that, you get to go sit in this historic venue and be a part of what has been such an crucial element of L.A. theater for so many years. It's a really great visit. Easy parking nearby and lots of good food
as well.
Expensive,
but easy.
Yeah, although, to be honest, last time I was there, I parked parked off Galen, and I think, or no, off of
Galan.
Yeah, no, yeah. Off of I forget what street, but it was a short walking distance, free parking.
Yeah,
my little yeah. So, and I couldn't believe that. So, but yes, it was actually it was easy, and we got there early, and we went and had food first. So,
yeah.
It's amazing. You go down there and explore a little bit. You can find
that's true. There is street parking available, ladies and gentlemen. That is for sure. And then there's the lot, which you will have to pay.
Which was good because my daughter then spent all my money on Sour Patch Kids that I saved on parking. So it worked out just fantastic.
Oh,
yeah,
smart.
She thinks she got like three boxes. It was unbelievable. A former newscaster, our next guest is making a name for herself on the theatrical stage these days. She played Barbara Tim in Hostage and Sarah Whitmore in Church and State, both at iTheater Collaborative.
She also appeared in the role of Mrs. Gottlieb in Dead Man's Cell Phone at Long Beach Playhouse. She joins us today to talk about her Odyssey Theater debut in the role of Sarah in The Things We Do. We're so happy to have her here. Please, once again, give her a warm round of applause. Marlene Galan.
Yeah.
I love you, Marlene.
So Hostage, that's an easy show to do. Man.
Wow. Yeah, right?
How do you get through an experience like that and come out the same as you were when you went in?
You know? You don't.
That's exactly right.
You do not.
Yeah.
Michelle Coulis Brooks wrote a gorgeous piece mm-hmm. in Hostage. It was my privilege to play Barbara. I tell you, it was so emotional. I have three boys. gosh. And and every night when they put the hood over this boy, those were my kids. And I mean, I'm just getting emotional just thinking about it. It really was an emotional experience from that perspective. Technically, I've never learned so many words in all of my life.
Wow.
It was a lot of text.
Yeah.
And I was on stage the whole time.
Wow.
And I was talking to Wisconsin, and I was talking to Tehran all at the same time,
wow.
and it's in her head. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece. I couldn't figure out why the Monday after the run I was depressed. And something's wrong with me. And it was really, I finally thought, okay, well, maybe it's because your son has been held hostage mm-hmm. for the last 3 days, you know, really, it kind of weighed on me, and I had to deal with that, but it was just beautiful. And
I don't recall any moments of levity during that show. Mm. Are there any?
I think there are a couple of moments that
that give you
a little break. When she, her snarkiness with her ex-husband, that relationship, I think is part of that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Barbara never smiles, though. I mean, I don't remember ever smiling.
Yeah. It's good. You don't have to worry about wrinkle lines or anything like that.
No,
it works
I didn't
out great.
Wear any makeup. I looked 20
oh,
years
wow.
old. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had my hair pulled back and
that's
very severe, you know, sort of Midwestern tough look, you know.
Tell me about the difference between doing a role like that that is so heavy and so important and then going to something which is certainly funny and has some much lighter moments, while it has heart as well, but also allows you to be a little bit sillier at times and that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about it is when I finished Hostage, I thought, wow, I'm really glad I have The Things We Do to work on next because it's going to be so much easier. Well, ha.
Ha.
Right.
It isn't. And that's what's so much fun about the theater is that every new piece brings you a different challenge. And even though this show is light in some respects, this show is funny in some ways, there's such a deep heart and a deep pain to Sarah that I did go to some dark places mm-hmm. to play this full person. She's not all she seems to be. There's a lot there. And so on its face, I would say that, it's fun and, you know, we're going to do this or that. She's a multidimensional person. But it has been, you know, nobody's having a hood put over their head and, you know, going back to Tehran and being starved.
it's a little
lighter. but the relationships are, they're important and they're what people deal with. And, so it's been great.
That's wonderful.
I've never seen Hostage, so what you're saying about it makes me want to see it. Like,
it's beautiful. Yeah,
it
was set in the during the Tehran
right.
Contra,
right.
the Tehran hostage crisis mm-hmm. that Jimmy Carter dealt with, and it's a true story of a woman from Wisconsin who had never even been out of the state, went to Tehran, despite the government's ban on flying, to go meet with the hostage takers and her son. And what I found most important about that story is that she was a very conservative woman who walked away from that being able to see her, meet with her enemy, but see a human being when she returned. And then she was accused of being a traitor, et cetera, when she returned, based on a true story, real woman.
If there was a ban on flying, how did...
She got across right before the ban.
We had Tim Robbins on, and he was talking about his opposition to the Iraq war earlier and saying how he was trying so hard to do what he thought was right. And it was interesting how people reacted to him after that, because that's, I guess, what he is as a person, and certainly as a director. You see that on stage with Johnny Got His Gun, and that sort of... Johnny Get Your Gun? Is it Johnny Got His Gun or Johnny Get Your
Gun? God Is Gun.
God Is Gun. But that show as well, I mean, so many really deep and dark, you know, themes that you have to deal with. You have to be able to go to those dark places, but you also have to be able to return, which I think is fascinating because Tim is such a great comedic and dramatic actor. You have to have those extremes in personality. I think that's interesting with a sex dramedy like this, because that is the highs and lows of human relationships, right?
Oh, completely. And we have so much fun playing those extremes. I mean, so they're all over the place. It is, at the end of the day, it is light and it is fun, but it's real.
Yeah,
these are real people, real struggles that they're dealing with, and it's fun. We have some shenanigans. We make mistakes. Mistakes are always funny, you know, as human beings. But yeah.
Now this is a one act, correct?
It is a one act.
A romp for an entire, what is it, 50 minutes? Is that what the show runs?
No, I think about 95 at the moment.
We'll see
how much air we can
chip. After you get Grant's notes tonight, we'll see how long it runs. One of the things that's interesting about a one act is you can't, you know, the audience gets to go along for the entire fun ride. There's no break where you just feel like, okay, now I've got to go reset or whatever. You enjoy what you have. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the idea of rehearsing a one act and what you want to do as far as the pace and what you want to have people leave the show feeling.
Oh, boy. Well, a one act is I love a one act. You get to tell the whole story, have the whole arc without anybody leaving the room. We're all in it together. And, boy, I want people to walk out and go, how am I doing in my relationship? You know, is this working? Am I listening? Am I being listened to? What can happen here? What's next if you're in your 40s or 50s? What's the next window? We're not dead yet, people.
Right.
What's next? And look in the mirror and see where they're at, because I do think it will make people think about their own relationships and their own lives and their own trajectory. What are the next, I mean, hey, we get to live a long life these days, right? What are the next 20 or 30 years going to look like?
That's right.
I think it's important, you know, as we entertain, we cannot preach. Mm-hmm. We cannot legislate morality. We cannot tell people how to feel or what to think. Our first job is to entertain. But also, I think it's important to relay the truth and the consequences of the decisions that we make, which can be funny.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But, you know, we go back, we all can remember the movie Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
Now that's a...
This is not that dark.
No, it's not that dark, but that's a
there
movie.
There will be no dead bunnies.
People,
the lovers of bunnies, feel free to come see this show.
People talked about that movie for a long time and the consequences of the decisions people made. Well, I don't want to give anything away. I want you to come see the show at the Odyssey, April 6th through May 12th. We're having a good time doing it. But there are consequences that one character in particular has to deal with, mm-hmm. the decisions that they make. Mm-hmm. And he regrets it.
Well, that's the way we learn, isn't it?
I feel it every day on this show. So this is a dramedy, but there's definitely comic moments, right? People will come and laugh and enjoy themselves at this. And it's a short show, correct? I mean, with the 95-minute runtime, get dinner right after, I believe. There's lots of good food places around the Odyssey Theater, too, right?
Several. Yeah, so. And the Sunday show is at 2, so come to the Sunday show
at
2.
Well, this Sunday is at 5, and then after that, there are 2.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and give those dates real quick, just so everybody knows. The name of the show is The Things We Do. Previews are running tonight and tomorrow night, and it performs April 6th through May 12th, Thursdays at 8, Fridays at 8, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 2 p.m. There will be the 1 5 p.m. show only on April 7th.
That's right. And it is at the Odyssey Theater, which is a beautiful space on Sepulveda Boulevard, 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard. And you can get your tickets easily by calling 310-477-2055 or go to the odysseytheater.com website to do so. Tickets are ranging in price between $15 and $40. It's a steal, especially for students with ID. They get it for $15. And seniors, you said earlier, $25.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Pretty good deal.
I think so.
I want to ask a little bit about dream roles. So obviously you're doing an original work, which I love. I've always loved creating a role for the first time and getting the chance to kind of set that template that other people have to then choose to follow or not follow, which I think is fun. But I also think it's a unique thing for Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. Very few places that can support themselves doing original shows. And as a playwright, I'm a huge fan of people doing original shows. Please do more original shows, right? Tell me about dream roles on your bucket list. Something that you'd like to do that you haven't had the opportunity to do yet. Does one of those pop to mind for either of you?
Wow. Gosh. Love to do Doll's House Part 2.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, we just promoted that show a little while ago. What a great piece. Paul Strolley, the other our former co-host on
That's
this
right.
show, a great actor,
yeah.
was doing it up in the Midwest. An amazing piece, isn't it?
That, I mean, it's just...
Have you played Nora in the original? Have you
no,
done?
I haven't, and that's a, you know that's on the.
I want to do them in rep. Yeah, wouldn't
gosh.
That be great? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that would be great. Gosh, what else?
You like the heavy roles, don't you?
I do. I was just gonna say I'd like to do Night Mother.
Wow.
I know, and yeah. I've worked on that, but I've never done the whole thing, and I love. Talk about dark. I mean, that's about as dark as it gets.
No kidding.
And but I love.
We can add doubt to the resume, and you'll be in good shape.
Might as well. There you go.
My goodness, Blake, what comes to mind?
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, whatever the role I'm in at the time,
right.
is the dream.
That's a good way of putting it.
I think.
Jeez, what are you running for?
His problem. His
so
problem is he already played
correct.
All the good roles.
It's,
so
I think what I enjoy the most is the people.
Yeah.
The venue, the experience, and we've got a great group.
Mm-hmm.
Marlene, Stephen, Liesl, Alina DeSantos, our writer, Grant Woods. I mean, it's
our creative team is amazing.
This is
amazing.
My dream role.
Let me ask you about Ms. DeSantos. As a director, did she leave room to bargain with you about things?
Oh, yeah.
She's really, you know, No actor or director relationship is perfect by any means. But I do have a lot of respect for her, and I like her, and I trust her in that she really does allow you to do what you want to do. And if she feels a certain way, she's going to tell you, and you're going to know. There's no ambiguity with Alina. And we kind of sometimes, like, for example, the blocking in certain scenes, we've not really... talked about the blocking. It just kind of happened, and that's just what we're doing.
It was very organic. And,
night after
and
night.
And it looks nice, yeah.
As opposed to a director says, I want you to turn, I want you to look this way, look at her, eat the chip, and then say your line. No. Really? No.
Well, we've been there.
Well, you know, but it's a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
And
really
so,
is.
Yeah, this is my dream role, and I'm doing it at 8 o'clock tonight in the first preview.
Wow.
So,
that's
with
great.
A good team, and I'm very grateful.
That's great.
Fantastic, right? Well, we have some things that we want to know from you that have happened in your previous escapades on the stage.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Pretty dramatic sound,
yes.
here, don't you think?
I know, I'm already nervous.
The voice of God.
You're on,
Marlene. You have anything that comes to mind?
Oh, several things. I'm trying to.
My problem is my entire career has been
down.
This. So it's all embarrassing moments.
I'm trying to narrow it down. Okay, so on stage, I was in Brighton Beach Memoirs, and I was playing Blanche, and at the very end, I'm supposed to be, but my daughter is supposed to hand me the letter from Mrs. What's-Her-Name, I can't remember her name now, that tells me why the guy's not going to meet me for dinner. And she's literally supposed to hand me a letter, and I'm going to address the letter, and I'm going to read from the letter. And the letter was a big deal to me as an actor because I'd written the letter out by hand. Da, da, da. Mm. This little girl comes out, just like, I don't have it. I don't have the letter.
Wow.
I'm like, how can I kill her right now? And no letter. And so I had to just keep going.
Oh, that's brutal.
And it was brutal.
Yeah.
And so I just stood there, and I remembered all the lines, but I had no letter, and she just wanted to die.
Oh.
So I couldn't kill her because she wanted to, you know, kill herself.
Right. When they feel bad, you can't make
you
them feel worse,
can't
of course.
Feel worse, right? And, yeah, so that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad. And then, I mean, I was a newscaster for a long time. Because
I was wondering, yeah, with your extensive on-camera experience, that's got to be, you had to have had some moments there that, I watched news bloopers the other day.
Oh, those
I didn't
are the best.
Mean to. I kind of was clicking through. I think I was on a Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and one of the things came up as amazing TV bloopers. I ended up watching, I like went down the rabbit hole on TV bloopers just because of this show. How many times have we had something on the radio? When it's on television, it's so hard to deal with.
It's just hilarious. I had a situation, this is one of the funniest things ever, and I didn't get in trouble because it was somebody else. But I did the morning news, and they always tape the night before the sportscasters.
Were you an anchor?
Blah, blah. Yeah, I was a news anchor. Yeah, I was an anchor in Phoenix, and I did the news here in Los Angeles as well. But anyway, this happened in Phoenix, and I was doing the morning news, and they taped the sports segment the night before. Well, unfortunately for the sports anchor, when they rolled the tape, they rolled the part that wasn't the right part.
Oof.
And it was, he'd already, like, he tried to record this several times,
yeah,
got frustrated with himself, and he proceeded, in the tape.
To rant.
To mm-hmm. go off with every four-letter word you can possibly imagine. And that's what ran. And
oh,
my co-anchor,
no.
God bless him, he was...
Was there no delay? There was no 7
there was
delay.
No oh, 7 no. anything. And somebody somebody hadn't had a cup of coffee back there and
right.
didn't, like, press, you know, eject.
Yeah.
It went on.
Oh, no.
And we come out to the two-shot. I thought my co-anchor was going to faint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, that clearly was not what we meant to run. Right. You know, I mean, I didn't even know what to say. It was just so embarrassing.
Yeah.
That poor guy got written up, blah, blah,
oh,
blah.
That's
did
awful.
The FCC call immediately?
No, no. We right. Not that I know of, but that was horrible.
Wow. Oh, that
how
is brutal.
How long ago was that? How long ago?
Oh, gosh. I bet that was 20 years ago.
Because now.
Yeah, you said press eject, too. Yeah. That you're exactly yeah. right. That's
oh.
what you had to do back then. You're right.
That gave me away, didn't it?
Well, I was on a segment, too, though, where that thing, it wasn't that bad, but it was something like that. It happened. This was for ABC, and they had a person there with their finger on the button ready, because it was such a touchy thing at that time,
yep.
too. That's interesting. What were you going to say, Michael?
I was going to say, now, you know, with the format of news being what it is, especially these Good Day LA mm-hmm. and KTLA Morning News, and it's all about the personalities
yeah.
that are sitting behind the desk.
That's
it's
right.
really less about news and more about them.
Yeah.
And because they just go off on
mm-hmm.
anything they want to
well,
talk
yeah.
about,
yeah.
which really has made me stop tuning into those news
which
shows.
Which is not news, it's advocacy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
a good point. That's a good point.
And I will say, if you have Spectrum TV mm-hmm. as your provider, that they have just started a news programming
yeah.
format, which is really, really interesting, and it is about Los Angeles, exactly as they say. And if you live in a certain part of Los Angeles, it is they have stories that relate to you because they are, you know, they can feel those stories because they're Spectrum. They're providing
great.
You
well, great
in
idea.
That community, and it's your community news.
So very geographically specific.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic.
And then on the wider spectrum, something that appeals to everybody in the city of Los Angeles. And it's segmented and runs repeatedly on News One channel 24 hours.
That's great, Michael.
Yeah.
That's great.
You haven't
Blake,
seen it.
You got anything for us?
The people on the news, the news commentators, are people from other... Mm. kind of famous shows, actually. You
that's
know,
fantastic.
That's great.
E-Entertainment. And
I'm going to have to get Spectrum for that.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I've seen it.
Blake Boyd, Embarrassing yeah. Moments. What you got?
Chicago, several years ago, Brad Gottfried.
The show or the city?
No, the good point. Very good, Drew. That's excellent.
Musical theater show here. You,
yeah,
you want to?
Yeah. He's not going to get anything by you. The city of Chicago, several years ago, Brad Gottfried's Women Are Crazy Because
oh,
They're
wow.
Assholes.
Wow.
That was a show by its title. We had a lot of first-time theater goers in the audience.
Oh, that's interesting.
And there was alcohol served in the lobby. Some of our patrons would even drink before they got to the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a romantic romp. Five
emphasis on the word romp.
Right.
Yeah. Five dysfunctional couples, and on three different occasions, the show had to be stopped. The lights turned on, and people asked to leave.
Wow.
One of the times, the patrons that were leaving left with a string of expletives, and people wow. applauded as they left. Right. They were just drunk and whatever.
Also, it's Chicago.
It's, well, you said that, I didn't. Anyway.
It's one of my favorite parts about the theater in Chicago.
Brad Godfrey, the writer-director, who's been on the show with you guys, said, okay, Ken, take it back to whatever and reset the lights, and guys, give us some applause.
What a
if
challenge.
You don't mind.
Wow.
And we'll go back to that point there. A couple of other inebriated guys, stage left, yelled out, no, go back to the lesbian scene.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge laugh, huge applause. The lights went down, the lights came back, and we continued with the show.
Wow. Yeah, that is, you know, it's funny. That town, people do voice their opinion, don't
they? It's a Tuttleman town, isn't it?
It's a lovely town. I spent 11 weeks there in Chicago.
Some of the best theater in the country.
It's great theater. I loved it. But that show had done 200 times,
wow.
and the three times that we had to stop were all in Chicago.
Wow.
Really?
There's a group called Broadway in Chicago that does great, great stuff. And, I mean, the theater that they do there is top-notch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting, though, for any show that gets first-time theatergoers to watch the faces as something happens that they've never been exposed to mm-hmm. before, that's a fascinating thing just in life to watch from first-time theatergoers, no doubt about it. Hey, fun show today.
Yeah,
big thank you to both of our guests and all of our listeners here on State of the Arts.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is a fun show. We want to remind you once again, it's called The Things We Do. It's playing at the Odyssey Theater, and it's now all the way through May 12th.
And you can get your tickets by calling 310-477-2055 or go to the odysseytheater.com website.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to remind people about some of the other shows that we've talked about, in particular, the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
the new
musical, off-Broadway on its U.S. national tour, and it is at the beautiful Hollywood Pantages Theater through April 14th.
That's right. Obviously, lots of good theater out there, as we always say on this show. Above all else, get out, see some live and performing arts, take your children out to shows, and have some fun, and let's create a legacy for the arts that we can hand off to the next generation. My name is Andrew David James.
And I'm Michael Sterling, and where will I see you next week, Andrew?
I'll be right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.